This episode sponsored by Apollo Neuro.
Having problems getting a good night's sleep? Apollo Neuro may be the help your body needs. Apollo Neuro is a wearable designed to calm your nervous system so you can fall asleep faster and sleep deeper without medication or side effects. It works by sending gentle, silent vibrations through your wrist that signal safety to your body, like a hug for your nervous system. The result? Fewer wake-ups, deeper sleep, and mornings where you actually feel rested. It's not just a sleep tracker. Apollo actively helps you regulate your body, and Smart Vibes AI automatically personalizes the experience for sleep, calm, focus, and recovery. It's scientifically backed, with clinical trial participants gaining up to 60 minutes of sleep a night. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Visit apolloneuro.com/audio and take $99 off today.
Hi guys, welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. So to say this guest takes us on our journey is an understatement. I was beyond excited to talk to Eric Nice, obviously famous for being on the very first season of MTV's The Real World. We got to talk all about that, and I was super excited to have him here. However, the reason why I really wanted him on Misunderstood is to talk more about something that I am so interested in, and I think it's very misunderstood. That is the world of ayahuasca. He helps others discover the healing world of ayahuasca. And if you're a fan, if you're curious, or if you're a naysayer, you won't want to miss Eric's insights and his firsthand experiences. So please sit back and welcome Eric Nice. I want to know how it is in Hawaii right now. Is that where you are?
Oh boy. Yeah. I live on the north shore of Kauai, and the fires are on Maui. So it's on another island, but it's just absolutely devastating, sad beyond imagination. You know, a whole town, a whole community just devastated. Hundreds and hundreds of people still missing. It couldn't be any worse.
Yeah. So did it happen in the middle of the night or something? Is that why people didn't have the time to escape?
Well, there's a lot of stories going around about what happened. There's information that's coming out every day. Supposedly, winds from a hurricane that were like 600 miles away to the south, somehow fueled this. Maybe it was a down power line. They're not quite sure. The sirens didn't go off. The wind was blowing really fast, so the embers were flying very quickly, and everything went up like so fast. But yeah, people just couldn't get out of town fast enough.
Wow. I mean, that's just so incredibly devastating. I spent a lot of Christmas vacations in Lahaina, and I actually studied humpback whales in college, and I was there for like half a semester. And, it's such a beautiful place, and that's just so devastating and awful. So,
yeah.
Did you guys have the smoke? Like when I was in New York, we had the fires from Canada was blowing, and it was like, it looked like we were in Armageddon. I mean, it was like a haze. Yeah. Did that happen with you guys, or did it not work that way? 'Cause you guys are an island.
Yeah. The wind was, Maui's far from here, and the wind was blowing in a completely different direction.
Wow. Okay. All right. Anyway, yeah. So we can start. I just wanted to ask you about that. 'Cause I just feel so awful for what people are going through there. It's devastating.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for asking. Sure. Appreciate that.
Okay. So Eric, thank you so much for joining me on Misunderstood. It's such an honor to meet you because you are like the OG grandfather of reality TV, and reality TV has become such a big deal since your days of doing it, as you know. I mean, it was also back then, but I am having you on this show because I really want to talk to you about ayahuasca and the mysteries and the questions surrounding that. But before I can even start that, I mean, it would be remiss if we didn't talk for a little bit about your journey of why you do that now and why it's so important to you and the path that you took to get there. So if you don't mind, can we talk about that a little bit? I want to first start with, how did you get that call or find out about the casting to be on The Real World?
Yeah, I had a modeling agency and I was, you know, getting into modeling and commercial work, potentially acting. So I was with Click Modeling Agency at the time. Mm-hmm. And it was just another casting that came through the agency for the Real World.
Mm-hmm. And so how did they represent it? What did they say you were going to have to do? How long you were going to have to participate? What made you interested in that casting?
Money, opportunity, you know, another job. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're with an agency in New York, there's castings, they come through every day. Sometimes you have, you know, 6 to 10 to 12 castings every day. Mm-hmm. So it was just on my casting call list.
And do you remember what it was specifically asking for?
A model interested in getting into acting.
Interesting. Okay. And yeah, their version of acting, was that being on television, or they were looking for someone who their career goal was to be an actor?
Yeah. Career goal, definitely, you know, looking for the model, interested in acting, that kind of stereotypical look for the show. That was the character that they were looking for in me.
So that's really interesting to me. So it wasn't an open casting for 7 people that wanted to just live in a house together or live in an apartment or loft and see what it was like to, you know, be filmed. So it didn't really come down the pike like that, sounds like.
It was. In my case, for my character, they were looking for a male model.
Okay.
You know, they found Julie in a mall in Alabama. They found Norm looking for another loft to shoot in, potentially in Brooklyn, which where they shot the pilot for The Real World was in Norm's loft. Oh. You know, and then everybody, Andre, they were looking for, you know, somebody in music, a rock star type, and they found him in a completely different way. So it really was. It was an open casting call looking for all different types of people, but also, you know, obviously interesting people that had some type of, you know, creative ability. You know, Kevin was a writer, Heather was a rapper, I was a model, Andre was a musician, Becky was a musician. Everybody, you know, had some kind of, you know, creative or, I don't know. Modeling's not very creative, but I guess acting is.
Yeah, right. So you guys all had something in common a little bit. It wasn't like somebody was doing nails or something or whatever. Okay. So, and what was the process of your casting? Did you have a bunch of callbacks? Were you, you know, did they see you and say, oh my God, this guy's it?
There was a lot of castings. There was the first call was kind of submit your photo, answer some questions. And then they brought us back. They brought me back a second time. Then they put me on camera and then they brought me back a third time, where the camera was moving around the room to see how I would react with a moving camera, asking tougher questions. Mm-hmm. And then the next casting was in a room with a bunch of producers, and it kind of, you know, went on from there. So I think I did maybe 3 or 4 castings before I got the part.
So, and as you got further into this, were you like, oh my gosh, I really want this? Or just was this like an everyday thing where you were going on different casting calls?
You know, at that time in my life, I really wasn't interested in being a model or an actor. My life at that time, 18, 19, 20 years old, I was very much an athlete in high school. Mm-hmm. Thought that I was going to go to college to play, you know, football or soccer or some sport. The only reason that I got into it was to make money. I needed a job. I wasn't going to college. I wasn't interested in college. And so my mom basically said, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? Why don't you try modeling and acting? I mean, my first reaction was, no way, I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. I had zero interest. And then a good friend of our families became one of the top male models in the world. And he had all the connections. And he came up to me one day and said, look, you know, if you lose some weight and you get shredded, you know, get your body in shape, and I can bring you in. And I think that they would be interested in you. And that's really how it all happened.
Wow.
Went into the agency. They took a photo. They sent my photos to Bruce Weber. And the next thing you know, I was on my way to a studio to shoot with Bruce Weber, and the rest is history.
Right. Okay. So, but when you started the show, you weren't somebody that people would recognize, right? I mean, you were kind of just as much of a known name as everyone else.
Absolutely.
So this show really blew you up. I mean, you became... what would you categorize it as? Would you say you became a huge star then? I mean, what was it like for you?
Well, the real world, first time something like that had been done. So mm-hmm. a lot of people were talking about it.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
We weren't short of getting press. It was obviously very easy for us to get the press.
Right.
But it was after the real world, a few months later, when I became the host of The Grind, mm-hmm. the dance show on MTV, which would send me into the stratosphere of fame overnight.
Oh.
And that, The Grind was viewed in over 90 million homes around the world, at a time where there was no internet.
Okay.
So
wait, time out.
That was pretty big.
Were you a dancer? Because I saw those workout videos you did. And I would think that's what catapulted you to the next level.
It's a funny story. I mean, not a technical dancer. I love deep house music. I've been a deep house head my whole life.
Yeah.
I learned how to dance watching Club MTV. Loved Downtown Julie Brown and would have loved to been on that show. But I became the host of The Grind. And what's interesting about that is I actually got the part of host of Club MTV before the real world happened. That was another casting that happened with MTV. So MTV had their eye on me.
Right.
And Downtown Julie Brown was on her way out after 5 years, and they wanted to bring in a male and a female host for Club MTV. I got the part. We were looking for a female as a co-host. Then they canceled Club MTV. And then the casting for Real World came in and got the Real World. And then 3 months after the Real World came out, the dance show came back in. And then I became the host of The Grind.
Right. So I know you said that doing The Real World really saved your life. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, The Real World, it was the first time that I ever got a chance to really look at myself and to observe the way that I behaved, to observe the way that I reacted in conversation around different issues and topics. I got to see myself in very insecure, fearful positions, places of judgment, and criticism. And that was a real eye opener for me, you know, watching yourself on TV for the first time and somebody else is editing the footage mm-hmm. is a real eye opener. So that was pretty much the beginning of my spiritual journey, understanding much later that, you know, spirituality is, you know, basically just looking at yourself, mm-hmm. taking a really deep, hard look at yourself. So that was the beginning of my spiritual journey for sure.
Okay. And I want to get into that, but before we go that way, so you're talking about the way that they edit you, and there's all this conversation now about the reality reckoning. I don't know if you've been following that. And mm-hmm. so I'm curious, back then, how did you feel that they represented you different or the same of how you were? I mean, what was that like being on the show and then seeing it later and seeing how it played out?
Yeah, 100% accurate. Mm. They didn't manipulate my footage, my story at all. I don't think they manipulated any of us on the first show. I think that our show was probably the first and the last truly 100% authentic reality TV show that was ever produced. The only thing that they were doing on a show, which we've openly talked about, you know, a thousand times, was they were manipulating the things that we were being invited to do by the production, because they were trying to get a response. They were trying to get an action. They were trying to get a trigger, trying to, you know, make the performance a little bit more juicy, because right. we all had the option to go home, to go back to our apartments. And after about 3 or 4 weeks, we really weren't so interested in each other anymore. Mm-hmm. And we started to go home, and then they kind of forced us to come back and stay in the loft. And then that's when things really started to get interesting. And we started to actually like each other.
Oh, wow.
And find some common ground, but also the truth of our differences right. would come alive.
Right. Step into a world of nonstop action on DraftKings Casino. Play the classics like blackjack, roulette, and slots. Plus, enjoy exclusive games you can't find anywhere else. Right now, new customers can get a deposit match up to $100 in casino credits when you deposit $5 or more. All you have to do is sign up, select the offer, make your deposit, and start playing from a full suite of games. Your way is the only way to play on DraftKings Casino. Play online, on your time, in your space, and within your means. It's safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you're ready. Download the DraftKings Casino app now, sign up with promo code UNDERSTOOD, and new customers get a deposit match on up to $100 in casino credits when you deposit $5 or more. Only on DraftKings Casino with promo code UNDERSTOOD. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia. Please play responsibly. In partnership with Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races in West Virginia, all games regulated by the West Virginia Lottery. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. 21 plus. Physically present in Connecticut, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia only. Void in Ontario. One per opted-in new customer. Minimum $5 deposit. Max match $100 in casino credits, which require one-time playthrough within 7 days. See terms at casino.draftkings.com/playerschoice. Restrictions apply. Have you ever noticed that your hair just isn't looking as healthy as it used to? Maybe you're starting to see more of your scalp and are self-conscious about thinning patches. Well, with Nutrafol, you don't have to accept it anymore. You can do something about it. And now, Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, clinically shown to improve hair growth, visible thickness, and strength. Nutrafol supports healthy hair growth from within by targeting root causes of thinning, whether it be stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, lifestyle, whatever is stressful to you. Their physician-formulated hair growth supplements use science-backed ingredients, and their drug-free technology provides consistent, reliable results. Are you ready to get started on the road to healthier hair? All you have to do is go to Nutrafol.com and take their hair health wellness quiz. Identify causes of your thinning hair, and Nutrafol will give you a personalized plan for better hair health. I love Nutrafol because I have been wearing hair extensions for at least 10 years. I have very thinning hair. It's short. It doesn't grow anymore. And since I've been taking Nutrafol, I feel more confident in my own hair. So take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter code UNDERSTOOD. Find out why 4,000 healthcare professionals recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code UNDERSTOOD. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code UNDERSTOOD.
So, so do you think that they were like provoking arguments though, or provoking behaviors? Like, you know, a lot of the comments are now of how reality TV people are being provoked into saying things, doing things, drinking, acting ridiculous.
Yeah, no, they didn't do any of that. They just created situations.
Yeah.
Instead of you and I just having a regular conversation and saying, hey, let's go for a walk in the park today. The production created a scenario.
Right.
Like for me, they created a photo shoot.
Right.
So they got a production company, they got a model, they set it up. I thought that I was going to a regular job that I booked mm-hmm. through my agency, but it wasn't.
I see.
So things like.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Right, right. So do you feel like it was the one and only sort of true, like what you said, true reality show because people were coming in, they didn't know what to expect. And after that, it's kind of like everyone knew what to expect. And then they almost came in with an idea of a character. Or a lot of people now, you see, they want to get on reality shows because they want to become famous, right? They have a goal for mm-hmm. later. And I feel like for your group, nobody knew how this would go, right? They didn't know what to expect. They didn't know how it'd be received. So I think a lot of people, and I'm just, you know, talking off the cuff, but I assume that they were like, you know, this could be fun. This could be interesting. I want to see where it goes, but they weren't thinking, oh, I'm going to get a book deal out of this. And I'm going to, you know, the motivation seemed to be different back then than it is now. I don't know of anyone going on a reality show now that doesn't have a motivation beyond fame and money.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's constantly changing. It's 30 years now. Mm-hmm. When you're in the world of production and direction and creation, writing, and all these things, budget, money, mm-hmm. sponsors, everything plays a role in the creation of something like this.
Right.
There's so many things to look at. Right. And so, yeah, it's interesting, you know, years later, you know, like when I did it, there weren't those opportunities for endorsement deals. Mm. They didn't exist.
Yeah.
And then that would come in, you know, kind of years later, where then the advertisers would come on and say, oh, I'm not going to just buy advertising, you know, space on the show, I'm going to spend my money on a character because that individual's character is now becoming popular with a lot of people. It's completely transformed.
Yeah.
So many different things in media over the last 30 years, the way that it was when we were involved in the beginning.
Right. And obviously social media wasn't around back then like it is now. I mean, and listen, my name has been thrown around a couple times to be on the Housewives of New York. And when that was on Page Six and got picked up everywhere, I cannot tell you how many people DM'd me, sent me free stuff. Like my, you know, it was crazy. And that was just a rumor. So, you know, I can't imagine what happens when people really get get on these shows and the stuff that they are offered or sent, because they want people to do barter deals about, you know, their products. So, you know, you didn't have all that back then. It was like people had to wait to see the episodes, to see who you were, and then later on give you the deal. So I totally get what you're saying there. So now tell me more about your spiritual journey. So you see yourself on camera, and are you saying you didn't like what you see? Like what was it that made you go the other direction?
Oh, well, this is loaded. So this gets into where we're headed with ayahuasca, but, this has to do with my entire life, my existence, mm-hmm. not just this life, but my past lives. And when I was on the grind, a couple of years into the grind, I was, preyed upon by a predator. And this individual informed me of things that were happening on the planet that were very dark, and also brainwashed me into believing that I needed to have sex with him.
Wow.
And so that was an incredibly devastating experience for me at that time, almost took my life. And that would be one of the stepping stones to go deeper into my life path, my mission, my spirituality. And many, many, many years later, finding ayahuasca. But it all stems from childhood trauma. It all stems from ancestral lineage trauma. That's what I do now. I'm an ancestral lineage healer for myself. Not saying that I'm a healer for other people, or anything like that. This is all about my journey and what I've personally experienced in my life. And then I share my story and I share my experiences and what I've learned over the years of how to heal myself. And I share that with other people. So, so this manager came into my life and basically destroyed my career, stole over $350,000 from me, which in 1993,
it's a lot of money
for being a host and a reality star is a lot of money. And had deals with Universal Studios and all the biggest producers and directors and potential movies, and all of that came to a screeching halt. And then not too long after that is where I would meet my first teacher, who was an eighth generation grandmaster from the Far East. And I would live with him and his family off and on for the next 6 or 7 years.
I'm so sorry you had to go through that. Obviously, you know, everyone has their path to get where they are, right? So I'm so sorry, but I'm so glad you found your way out of it and still are, and obviously are helping other people. So,
thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So what was how did you get yourself though from, you said you almost took your life. I mean, how did you get from feeling that way to seeing a light and knowing that there was another option and knowing how to find the next step?
Yeah, good question. Seeing the light. It was a warm summer night in New Jersey, New York City, where I was standing on the side of the Hudson River, looking at the Viacom building, which is the company that owns MTV. And I had my grandfather's knife on my wrist, ready to take my life. And right before that moment, I carved into the tree, set me free in a heart. And in this place of total fear and confusion, I was feeling this, I had this overwhelming feeling that I didn't have a way out. Mm-hmm. There was no way out of this, you know? And in that moment, this cloud came floating down the river, and it was lit up by all the lights of New York City. And it got my attention. And when I looked at it, I heard this little, still, small voice in my head said, just go home. Just go home. And it was like I went into a trance in that moment. And I went back to my apartment where the manager was and my friends. Mm-hmm. And I just started packing up all my stuff. And I went home, which was about an hour away in central Jersey. Mm-hmm. And when I got home, I cried for about 2 weeks. My family, nobody could touch me. Nobody could come near me. And that was the very first time that I found Reiki. My mom knew this woman who did this, and I never even really heard about it. And so I went to go see her, and between the cloud in the sky and the little small voice in my head and the Reiki session with this woman, she said that Mother Mary was in the room. She gave me her personal crystal. I held it to my heart. And she said, Mother Mary's always with you. And I decided to go to the mountains in Colorado. And I went by myself and I went snowboard for a month. Like I had to escape. I had to get out and get away and do something. Mm-hmm. When I was out there, my sister calls me and she says, you got a check from MTV for the sales of your workout videos. Do you want me to open it? And I said, sure. And she opened it up and the check was for $110,000. And MTV made a mistake and they added an extra zero to my $10,000 check. And because they mailed it and it went through the mail and to my house, they couldn't take it back. So they made a $100,000 mistake. Wow. And the $350,000 that was stolen from me and everything, like it kind of, you know, it gave me a cushion.
Yeah.
And I decided in that moment that if I was going to go back into the business, I could only do it with my friends and my family, mm-hmm. people that I knew and people that I trusted. And then I met my grandmaster not long after that. And then it's just been this incredible magical journey of angels and demons and dragons and shamans and grandmothers and grandfathers and plant medicines and trips to Tibet and to the jungles of the Amazon. And it's just been this magical hero's journey just to places that I never in my wildest dreams could have imagined.
Wow. So, all right. So now let's get into that then. So a lot of people have a thought that ayahuasca is basically like doing drugs, right? They lump it in with abuse of ketamine abuse or, you know, mushrooms or all these different things, which now, people are using these to treat post-traumatic stress disorder and, dealing with mental health things. And so how did you get into doing ayahuasca? Did you start with something else or did you just jump right into that?
Yeah, well, 17 years ago, somebody gave me a book called The Medicine Way, or told me about this book called The Medicine Way. And the book facilitates you through the Native American medicine wheel. Okay. Written by an anthropologist named Kenneth Meadows. And I went into the desert to do a very long water fast, 40 days, because I was thinking about Buddha and Jesus. And I thought that, you know, that story of them just drinking water in the desert for 40 days, it must have had a pretty big impact on them because their names have lasted throughout the ages for thousands of years. And they have millions and millions and millions of people that follow them,
right?
You know? And so I went into the desert, I started drinking water, and 16 days later, my body started breaking down and was screaming for nutrients. Mm-hmm. And so
I just need to get a mental picture of this. Were you by yourself in the desert with water?
I was with one other person.
Okay.
Wow. That was watching over me as I was going through this process.
And it was it like a typical fast where you try and sit still and be quiet what were you doing all day?
I know, at that time I didn't understand fasting at all, especially water fasting.
Yeah.
So because of the athlete that I am and the competitor that I am, and I'm go, go, go 100 miles an hour, you know, I'm the guy who at the end of the night, when everybody's partying and they're like going to sleep, I'm looking for the next party.
Right.
That's the fire that burns inside of me. So, you know, every day I'm walking an extra lap on, you know, where I was, and I'm doing salt flushes and, you know, all these different things. And it's amazing. I lasted 16 days. I was waking up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom and passing out, fainting and hitting my head against the wall, like knocking myself out.
Oh my gosh.
But then I would learn, obviously, later on the proper ways to fast. You know, everything in my life has been, you know, trial by error.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so 16 days, a friend of mine who owned a superfood company that I've been with for 17 years, he came up to the property with a big box of superfoods, and we put together this anabolic fast formula of the most nutrient-dense foods on the planet. So I finished the 40 days with just about 500 calories in superfood shakes. And then when I finished the 43 days, the 40 days, that's when I went into the Native American medicine wheel. It's like a vision quest. And it was in the vision quest where I realized that this is what I was going to be doing for the rest of my life. I was going to be bringing people into the desert and taking them through what I experienced to help them rehabilitate themselves from drugs and trauma in their lives. And that's what I've been doing for the last 17 years.
So it had that effect on you. 40 days in, 43, whatever it was, you had an awakening, so to speak.
It was one of my aha light bulb awakening moments. And when I came out of that, I went on this search for many years to understand, number one, how to rehabilitate the body from addiction. But ultimately what that would turn into is understanding how to liberate your soul and your physical body from suffering.
Right.
And that's when I would meet Mona Palaka, who is one of the 13 indigenous grandmothers. She's a part of a council of 13 indigenous grandmothers that come from all four directions on the planet to bring awareness, healing, knowledge to the world, especially about water and many, many other things. And people started inviting me to go to ayahuasca ceremonies, and that went on for about 4 years. And then finally, I got the call from Grandma Ayahuasca. It was time to meet her. I called up Grandma Mona. I told her what was happening. She introduced me with this woman who connected me with two of the other indigenous grandmothers that lived in the jungle of Brazil, and found my way into the jungles of Brazil to do ayahuasca for the very first time.
Wow. Okay. So what was that like?
Well, it's long story short, but the woman who I was going with, we were flying there together on Martin Luther King's birthday. We were the last people to get on the plane on the 7 a.m. flight. Her visa was expired. We went back into New York City on Martin Luther King's birthday. She could not obviously get her visa in time. That little voice came back in and said, "You got to go." So I said to her, "Look, I need you to write down what I need to do to get there." And she said, "Oh, no. Oh, no, no. You don't speak the language. It takes 2 days to get there, three planes, two taxis, a canoe, 6 hours down a river. No way." And I said to her, I go, "I know we just met. You don't know me very well, but I'll be fine. I take full responsibility for my life. I have to go."
Wow.
So I went. I got on the 7 o'clock flight that night, and I made it into the middle of the jungle 2 days later. And I showed up at the grandmother's house, who didn't know that I was coming there. I'd only met her once a few years before that, in a circle of 350 people. And I got to her front door. I told her the story about what happened and how I got there. And I looked at her and I said, do you remember my face? You met me with Grandma Mona. And she looked at me and she went, oi, I remember you. I remember you. You're in luck. You can stay here with me.
Oh, wow.
And so I stayed in her house for 2 months. And then she said to me, you came on a very auspicious day. Today is the celebration of Padrino Sebastian, the founder of the Santo Daime Church. And tonight we drink for him. So get ready. The ceremony starts in 2 hours.
Oh my goodness.
So I go into this temple that was the shape of the Star of David with 650 people. They had a service window, like you're going up to McDonald's to get a Big Mac, a drive-thru. Uh-huh. And she connected me with this guy, and she said, just follow him. He'll take care of you. He knows what to do. 12-hour ceremony, traveling for 2 days. I drank 16 cups of ayahuasca and nothing happened.
What? Wow.
Nothing. Just, I had a little bit of an upset stomach. And I went back to my room that night and I said, wow, I came all the way here to drink this magical tea that's going to change my life.
And it doesn't
show me
work.
Everything that I need to see. And nothing happened.
So why do you think that happens to some people? Because I have heard that from people. Do you think that's like a psychosomatic thing? Do you think it's just your body wasn't reacting to that potion, or what happened there?
She's in control. You're not. It's not about drinking a tea. It's about connecting with the spirit of ayahuasca, the conscious, limitless potential being that is a feminine spirit. That's why we call her Grandma, and she's in control. That's why we go to her, because she loves us. She wants us to heal. She wants us to evolve, because she wants us to be good stewards of the planet. She wants us to be, you know, be happy, to be a good father, a good mother, a good brother, a good sister, you know, and she's just interested in harmony. She's interested in harmonizing air, fire, water, and earth. And that's what we are. She is the combination of a root of a vine and a plant. And when you boil these two together for a certain amount of time, it creates dimethyltryptamine, DMT, which, you know, people refer to as the God particle, the God molecule. Mm-hmm. And that DMT exists in everything on this planet and in all of us. And when you're born and you go through your birth, the birth canal of your mother, your brain is covered in DMT. And the same thing happens when your soul leaves this body when you die. That's why when people say, oh, I had a near-death experience and I went to the light. Mm-hmm. There was a tunnel of light. That's the DMT covering the brain. The DMT is a bridge to the spirit world or the morphogenetic field of light, of the grid, the sacred geometrical grid of light that we don't see with these eyes. And when you take some type of a substance, a plant medicine, a healing medicine, not a drug, a medicine, which means power, it gives us access to the parts of us that we are unconscious to.
Wow. Okay. So for people that really want to follow along, but are not as far along as you and really understanding this, I want to dumb it down a little bit. So tell me what it was like the first time it affected you. What did you see? How did you feel?
Yep.
What can people expect? Why should they do it? Like, that's why I want to get into it.
Sure. So the second time that I did it, I drank the medicine. Mm-hmm. And again, for like 4 or 5 hours, I wasn't really feeling anything. And then it came on. And everything around me turned into like sacred geometry. It was all shapes and colors, like geometry, you know, like the flower of life, and all these different three-dimensional looking geodesic shapes, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The trees, all the light around me, the bench next to me, the chair, the table, everything, right? And I could feel it. I could feel this energy in my body. And at the same time, I connected with my inner child. I became my 6-year-old self. Mm-hmm. And I was in communication with my 6-year-old self, but I was playing with the energy as if I was 6 years old. Like, right, when we were 6 years old and we were in our room, in our world of imagination and wonder, and there was no fear, there was no judgment. We didn't even have a concept of what that was.
Yeah.
We just in the moment playing, mm-hmm. having fun. And that's where she took me. That was my very first experience, was with connecting with my 6-year-old self. And that is very important for where I am today, because of what I would go through over the years to help me to understand how the trauma and the experiences that I went through in my life would imprint me and impact me when I would get older. Hmm. And that's what this whole journey has been for me with ayahuasca, is going back, reconnecting with my 6-year-old self, and helping me to release all the energies that I've been carrying around in my body from those traumatic emotional experiences that I've had in my life. And it would bring me to a place of liberation in my physical body, of pain, discomfort, and all those types of things.
I think that's so amazing, because there are obviously so many people that are going through grief, shame, whatever these kind of universal feelings are, right? And as you said, are imprinted on you from your experiences through life. And people don't even realize it sometimes. And then there are people that do realize it, and they go to, let's say, talk therapy. And a lot of people you'll see are prescribed drugs to help them feel better, or they're, you know, deep in some sort of addiction to help them feel better. But what none of that is addressing is why they feel that way. And I think so many people are stuck and don't know why, even though they spend all this time talking about it and thinking about it and trying to purge it just from their immediate thoughts. It seems to me that ayahuasca or some of these other medicines are able to unlock something in you that you have been shutting a door on or putting a wall up so you can't even see it. You can't even release that in yourself. You need some help. I mean, am I getting it right?
The awareness that you have about what you just said is so important and so profound on so many levels. And the impact of that awareness globally is what the world needs. And this is exactly what's happening. People are walking through their lives and they have no idea why they feel the way they feel. They have no idea why they react the way that they react when somebody else says something that right. they don't like. And it's not that they don't like it. It's that the frequency and the vibration that's being projected at them by that other person is triggering mm-hmm. the energy and the frequency in their body that is what's causing them to feel uncomfortable, because they're holding on to that energy in their body from a trauma that they experienced at some time in their life.
Right. Right.
This is exactly what's happening with 8 billion people on the planet. This physical body that we're in, and I'll break it down for your listeners, and you want me to explain it like you're in fifth grade. This is, it doesn't get any more simpler than this. If you really, truly want to understand yourself and understand why you feel the way that you feel, consider observing nature. Hmm. Why? You and me and everybody who's listening, there's one thing that will never change. This is the laws of nature on this planet, on planet Earth. And the laws of nature are that air, fire, water, and earth, the four elements, there are laws that we are governed by when it comes to the interaction of air, fire, water, and earth, minerals. Those four elements are always going to interact the same. It'll never, ever, ever change. When the sun shines its light on the water, there's going to be a reaction.
Right.
Right? When the wind blows across the water, there's going to be a reaction. Mm-hmm. It's never, ever going to change. Right? So these interactions are happening inside of us all the time. Well, what makes you and me different? Of course, if you identify as a woman and I identify as a man, I'm just going to be gender respectful.
Yeah, appropriate. Yeah.
Appropriate here. So the only thing that's different about me and you
is our experience.
Is your experience.
Yeah.
And if we were to get to know each other deeply, we would find that our experiences are quite similar.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I totally agree.
And what Buddha realized, right? So what Buddha realized and what Jesus realized and what Kuan Yin realized and what all the ascended masters whose names have lasted throughout the ages, is they understood the laws of nature and they understood how to liberate themselves from their own suffering. And very simply, the way that they did this was by objectively observing themselves equanimously. Mm-hmm. This is the mantra for every human being on the planet. Objectively observe yourself equanimously, which means calm in the eye of the storm. Calm in the chaos of your own mind. Identify your fears. Identify your judgments. You'll understand your insecurities. You'll understand your low self-esteem. You'll understand where and how your power was taken away from you at whatever time it happened in your life. Why you don't feel you're enough. Why you don't feel whatever it is,
right,
that you don't feel enough and complete and in your power and in harmony and in balance with nature. Mm-hmm. And it's all based off our traumatic emotional experiences. The greatest psychologists of our time right now are all pointing to this. And this all just started in the last probably 10, 12, 15 years. Gabor Mate is probably the leader in this, where he talks about childhood trauma.
Right.
And the root cause of suffering. Mm. And so this is what ayahuasca has showed me, and also Vipassana meditation, because very simply, what Grandma Ayahuasca does is she becomes a reflection of you. Mm. She shows you what you're feeling. She shows you what your fears are. She shows you what your judgments are. She shows you what grief you're holding on to, what shame you're holding on to, what guilt you're holding on to. And she shows you where it is in your body. And she shows you what the experiences are that happened to you in your life that caused it. That's why we drink ayahuasca. And that's why, you know, 40 years ago, she started to tell the shamans, it's time for the people to drink the medicine. Because up until about 40 years ago, only the shamans drank the medicine. You would go to the shaman with your issue. Mm-hmm. He would drink it. he'd have a vision of what's happening inside of you and then prescribe you some other type of plants to help you with whatever the issue is.
Right, right. So, I mean, what you're saying is so powerful, and I feel like I'm so ready to do that. I've been ready for a long time. But what about for people that are scared of, you know, they've never done psychedelics. I've never done that. I'm scared of it. I'm scared of throwing up. I had a childhood trauma that happened to me. I ate poison berries. My mother gave me Ipecac, and it is my, throwing up is my biggest fear. I haven't thrown up since I was 4 years old. I'm going to knock on wood, because I'm paralyzed by that fear from something that happened very traumatic to me. So I've been scared to do ayahuasca, but I know for me, someone who's suffered from a lot of loss and shame and tragedy, that I am someone who wants to do something like that to help me move forward. Cause I feel stuck. And I think that's a universal feeling. So many people feel stuck for whatever it is. I don't even think people need to be aware or have gone through some major tragedy with the T. You know what I mean? Like it can just be good for anyone, right? I mean, do you have to feel like you need to fix yourself to go there, to go through this?
Oh, well, let me just acknowledge you and you know, feeling stuck and this fear that you have, right, about throwing up and, you know, wanting to understand, you know, why do I feel stuck? Why do I have this fear? What's there? Something is there. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling it. I feel it in my body, but I'm scared. It's bringing up fear. It's bringing up the energies that are in your body that are coming from an experience that you had. And you know it, that you have to face your fear, break through, find out what it is, re-experience it, and love it and let it go unconditionally.
Right.
You know this.
Yes, I do know this.
It's in your heart. It's radiating through your body.
Right.
And so as soon as you go and do that, grandma knows. She set this conversation up. We're here talking about her. She's orchestrated everything in my life. Mm-hmm. She knew that you and I needed to come together at this moment, at this time, have this conversation, for you to bring that up, because I'm sure you're on your way to sitting with her and having a relationship with her. You're feeling the calling.
Yeah.
Right? So that's first. Acknowledge you, the little girl inside. She deserves it. She is beautiful. She's important. She is everything. And she is trying to get your attention.
Yeah.
Right? And we love her. We honor her in this way. What I've experienced with my journey and over 350 ceremonies. And so immediately some would be like, wow, like why so many? You know, I heard that this, you know, you drink it one time and your life transforms. And that is not true. You know, the indigenous people that I sit with, that I have been sitting with for over 7 years, they drink ayahuasca 300 days a year.
Wow.
It's their green drink in the morning.
Their green juice. Yeah.
You know, and what we have to understand is that we are constantly taking on all kinds of energies that are causing the air, the fire, the water, and the earth inside of us, that what we are, to come out of balance. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, what's coming through our eyes, what's coming through our ears, what's through our nose, what we're eating, what we're feeling, the way people are talking to us, what's my relationship, what kind of food am I eating, how many toxins are in it, what are the chemicals in the water, blah, 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 blah. It could go on and on and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. So ayahuasca helps us to clean off those energies. And it that doesn't mean that, okay, I drink ayahuasca 10, 15, 20 times. Then it all depends on your relationship with her and why you have this relationship with her. What type of relationship do you want with her? Just like What type of relationship do you want with your girlfriend or your boyfriend, your husband, your wife, your coworker, your dog, your cat? It's just, it's about a relationship mm-hmm. that we have with this spirit. And in the indigenous world, the spirit world is more real than this 3D matrix manipulation control system grid that we're living in mm-hmm. of massive separation and division. Because in the spirit world, there is no separation and there is no division. You know, for somebody who wants to come to the medicine and they are fearful, more of a reason why they should go to the medicine. Because you have a fear. And that fear is holding you back in some way, shape, or form. And if somebody says, oh, I'm not going to go do ayahuasca, that's a drug. You're not informed.
I'm glad you've said all this. This is really important for people.
Right?
To
you're
hear.
Not informed.
Yeah.
You don't, you're speaking from a very irresponsible and dangerous place.
And from a place of fear.
Judgment of place of fear, mm-hmm. and you're passing judgment on something you know nothing about. Mm-hmm. No experience.
Yeah.
Just because of what you heard or what you read. Mm-hmm. Because I don't care how many books you read about something. Unless you have gone out and have had an experience with it, you've had an emotional experience with it where air, fire, water, and earth has interacted with that thing, whatever it is, you won't truly know it and understand it. That's where true wisdom comes from.
Right.
Is from an experience with something where you can taste it, you can smell it, you can hear it, you can feel it, you can touch it. Mm-hmm. You cry with it, you know? You scream with it, whatever it is. You sleep with it, all those things.
And how would you suggest somebody finds, you know, a real person to do this with? I mean, I know I've had friends that have hired shamans to come to their Hamptons house. You know, is that somebody just as legitimate yep. as going to Costa Rica?
You have to be very, very careful. I can't stress it enough because in the world of ayahuasca, in the world of plant medicine, in the world of shamanism, just like in our 3D world, just like you going to work or in your relationship, you have light and you have dark. You have some people who are coming from a place of love and you have some people that are coming from a place of fear, you know, and they wish harm on people. That is happening. We live on a planet of duality. Mm-hmm. There's light and there's dark. So you really need to know who is serving the medicine, who's facilitating the medicine, who is guiding you, who is protecting you in that space for you to travel, not just into the spirit world, but into your childhood, mm-hmm. into your subconscious mind, into the Akashic records of your soul. Because that's what these medicines do. They open up a bridge, a portal into light and information. And so you have to be very, very discerning, very careful about who the shaman is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And who did they train under? What is their knowledge? What is their experience? What lineage do they come from? It's interesting because there's a number of people who I've been speaking to lately, and you're going to see this happen because once we start having the conversation, it goes out into the field, and then everybody else up on the energy. You're going to start to see websites pop up of shamans who have been vetted.
Okay.
That, you know that they're safe to go to. This is all on its way. There's websites that are coming up now where there's integration websites, where there's integration specialists that are there to assist people after coming out of a plant medicine ceremony. Mm-hmm. Because you go into a plant medicine ceremony, all of a sudden your mind is blown. You're, you know, seeing angels and unicorns and spirit animals and all these different things. And you're remembering things that happened to you in your childhood that, you know, maybe you had amnesia. That happened to me. And it's challenging and it's scary. You know, I'm not going to this isn't just about, you know, butterflies and unicorns. There's a very dark side of this, but we have that.
Right. Right.
In us.
And that's what I was going to ask you about. What about for people that are scared of what they might find, scared about what it might trigger in them, or they're scared that they're not going to come out the same person they were going into it as, even though they might not like that person, but it just feels safe. Right.
Yeah. And that goes back to what I'm saying. So you know, you would contact somebody like me because preparation and integration are actually more important than the journey itself, because you have to prepare your body to receive the medicine, detox and cleanse your body. There's certain, you have to get off of drugs. You have to wean yourself off of certain medications. You want to avoid certain types of foods, salt, garlic, onions, no alcohol, no red meat. You want to really clean your body out, purify your body before you receive the medicine. And then the aftercare is just as important, because you need somebody to help guide you to integrate the energies that have left and the energies that have come in.
Right.
So there's this whole like recalibration of your energy field.
And what about for people who are interested in knowing it, can you do something like this because they're looking for somebody who's passed? Like, are they going to be in touch with someone who's gone, or is this all about a journey within yourself?
Yeah, well, it's both, and your ancestors are inside of you. So that comes to ancestral lineage healing. And that's what I've been doing over the last 12 years, is I've been going back way, way, way back into my lineage and my many, many, many lifetimes, clearing the trauma, clearing the trauma, clearing the trauma. So it doesn't get passed down in future generations.
Right. Okay. And where is this legal?
There are some countries that it's legal in. Peru, it's legal in. Mexico, I think, yeah, Mexico, it's legal to do it there. Ecuador, Brazil. In Brazil, they actually serve ayahuasca to inmates in jail.
Oh, wow. Lucky them. Seems like it makes it easier for them. It's probably pretty enlightening for them. All right. Yeah. So now I know that from this, you have also created a health and wellness line, right? Or is it an oil? Tell me about that a little bit.
Oh, well, this is Songsa.
Yes.
This is a Cambodian word for lovers or friendship. My girlfriend is Cambodian and Thai and Chinese. And this, she's an aromatherapist. She went to school for aromatherapy. And together over the last 10 years, we looked at all these different flowers and plants and trees and looked at all the potential benefits, you know, of these oils, the history of these oils that have gone back thousands and thousands of years, like frankincense and myrrh and lotus and jasmine. These are, you know, oils that kings and queens and ascended masters have been connected to. And we wanted to create something that would address your entire body from the outside layer of your skin to as deep as your chakra system and your nervous system. So there's 26 oils that are in here. And on the outside, they will help protect you from the skin, they will from the sun, but they will also repair your skin from damage to the sun.
Wow.
The other benefits that it has is a mood enhancer. It helps to calm and relax the nervous system. There's some flowers in here that are specifically target certain chakras in the body. It has every anti-inflammatory, anti-astringent, anti-everything in there. If you come to the website, you can see all the different oils that are in the blend. And it's just it's a really beautiful creation that my girlfriend Penny made. And we just launched it a few months ago. actually. Right. But I use these in, we use the oils and what we call flower water in ceremony, because the dark, the lower frequency, lower vibrational entities, mm-hmm. you know, like I was saying earlier, yeah. there's light and there's dark, and yeah. whether you want to call them demons or whatever it is, they don't like the light and the high frequency of the flowers.
Interesting.
And so when you put them on your body, they actually help to protect you in ceremony. And they also help to clear off energies that are disrupting the natural harmony of air, fire, water, and earth in your body.
Wow. Okay. I need some of this, obviously. I can't wait to order it. All right. So if people want to reach you to talk to you more about this, to ask you more questions, to get in touch with you, to actually, you know, try ayahuasca and have you lead them or guide them on a journey, where could they find you?
Well, they could send me an email through my website, which is IAM, Eric Neese, ericnees, .com. IAMEricNeese.com is my website, and you can send me an email through there.
Okay, awesome. And then where can they buy this amazing oil?
They can go to songsahawaii.com, SONGSAA Hawaii.com, songsahawaii.com.
Okay. Well, I will be doing that after this show. I'm so excited to meet you. I'm excited that I also have your number so I can talk to you offline about how to come see you maybe, because I feel like this was really enlightening for me and really opened up some ideas for me. So it was such a pleasure to meet you. I'm so excited for people to hear your journey and what you're doing now and be enlightened and informed about ayahuasca, because I think it's so important. And I think there are so many people that have questions about it. And I think you answered all of them.
When you're ready, I'm going to make an offering. When you're ready, come see me in Hawaii. We'll do a before interview and we'll do an after interview, and we can share your experience with all of these beautiful humans that are following you and listening to you and tuning into you week after week to hear what you have to say. So I think it would be really cool. You could share your experience. Here we are, Grandma's calling, and I'm ready to answer the call if you are.
I love that. I'm going to make myself say it right now. So I hold myself to it, that I'm going to accept that offer from you. So one day we will do this, you know, I will make that commitment. So thank you for helping me get through my fear. And I'm really excited about that.
Beautiful. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled M-I-S-S, understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.
This episode sponsored by Apollo Neuro.
Having problems getting a good night's sleep? Apollo Neuro may be the help your body needs. Apollo Neuro is a wearable designed to calm your nervous system so you can fall asleep faster and sleep deeper without medication or side effects. It works by sending gentle, silent vibrations through your wrist that signal safety to your body, like a hug for your nervous system. The result? Fewer wake-ups, deeper sleep, and mornings where you actually feel rested. It's not just a sleep tracker. Apollo actively helps you regulate your body, and Smart Vibes AI automatically personalizes the experience for sleep, calm, focus, and recovery. It's scientifically backed, with clinical trial participants gaining up to 60 minutes of sleep a night. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Visit apolloneuro.com/audio and take $99 off today.